Episode 94 of the podcast. This week we're talking about ways to assess a dog to prevent problems and ways to assess a dog to work on known problems. You're listening to the Creating Great Grooming Dogs podcast. I'm Chrissy Neumeyer-Smith. I'm a certified professional groomer, a certified behavior consultant for canines, a certified professional dog trainer, and the owner of Happy Critters in Nashua, New Hampshire. And this, my friends and colleagues, is the podcast where grooming and training meet. There are a couple of ways that training starts. All right, I'm going to be just putting it into two categories for our discussion today. First category is we teach key behaviors to prevent a problem. The second category is to work on a known problem by teaching key behaviors. And I know that's oversimplifying, of course, but for our purposes today, let's use these two. So in the first part, we're going to talk about the first one, which is to teach key behaviors to prevent a problem. With this side of training, what we have is a dog with no known problems and likely no experience. This is kind of puppy stuff, or maybe a dog fresh out of rescue or brand new into a home, but we don't really have a history. We don't really know much of what's going on. What do we need to do as trainers and groomers and owners is we need to have an idea of what the end goal looks like. That's really important. We need to know what this dog will be exposed to. That could really vary from breed to breed. And I want you to be thinking about that. Many of these doodles that we're seeing, and everybody fall in love with the doodles. They're here to stay. And they're a lot of grooming work. Many of these dogs are going to need professional level grooming care. Even if it's what their owners are doing at home, their owners are going to need a variety of tools. There's going to be clippers, there's going to be shears, there's going to be dryers. So we need to be thinking about what this dog will be exposed to, what will be part of this dog's life, and what this dog will need. Then we think about how do we build up to that. But first we need to assess where this dog's starting point is. And then how can we break things down into smaller skills? That's really important because one of the most common problems that I have with so many training approaches right now, the instructions are based on the assumption that the average dog today thinks that grooming is scary. So they skip assessing a starting point. They just skip it. They're like, okay, well, we're going to work on having a brush in the room and treating for that, and having a brush near the dog and treating for that, and having a brush on the dog's paw and treating for that. And the problem is that just try brushing before you spend a week introducing the brush and introducing brushing. Just try it. Just get in there. Go ahead and like, hey, puppy. Hi, sweetie. I have a brush. Let's see how you feel about it. Let's assess the dog in front of us. I think we need to kind of step back from this idea that dogs are definitely afraid of it. Assess the dog. Because I got to say, after many, many years of putting brushes on dogs and putting brushes on puppies and giving it a go, most dogs really are pretty good at it, right? They're kind of a little bit curious. Puppies especially tend to be curious about brushes, but they rarely find it scary. What they're more likely to find scary is that we're touching them in a weird way or in a weird place, and they're not a little unsure. But assess the dog. It is really one of my biggest peeves because assessing the dog should be part of any good training program. You should be looking at the dog in front of you. So we don't do that with many other dogs skills that we teach dogs. We don't assume the worst and then build it up, right? What if a trainer, I know we're going to go off in trainer crazy land here, but what if trainers assumed that all dogs were afraid of having a collar or a leash? Wait, Chrissy, that's silly. We need to use collars and leashes from day one unless it's an extreme case. Yes, yes. And that is exactly how I feel about it when we're starting to talk about handling feet, looking in ears, holding tails, brushing, toweling, nail trimming. The average puppy needs nail trimming. and basic coat care of some sort, even if it's just wiping their paws, even if it's just trimming down a little bit of toenail while their toenails are so super, super sharp and they haven't yet learned to not scratch people, right? These are basic needs that are happening right now. Put a rush on it. Put a rush on it. Like, let's assume that we're going to give it a go and see if there's a problem and address a problem if there's a problem. And to also be thinking about being mindful of this. Like, we want this to be pleasant. We want them to relax. Like, you don't just click, you know, snap a collar onto a dog the first time. You're gentle about it. You're relaxed about it. But seriously, you have to assess the dog in front of you to decide what things they have a problem with. I literally watched a video with someone I truly respect who is doing wonderful, wonderful work. And if that 15-minute video was about a dog who had some sort of known fear, I would think, okay, that makes sense to do. But if it's a normal, average dog, spending that kind of time teaching them about normal, average things, to me, isn't time well spent. We want the dogs to be able to do it. We should be encouraging wherever they're at, meet them where they're at, and then build their skill level from there. Meet them where they're at and build their skill level from there. So be aware of the dog's needs and what the dog needs right now. Now, another common problem I have with so many training approaches is that the end goal seems to be an afterthought. So, trainers, I want you to be familiar with the grooming process and with veterinary processes, but more importantly, the grooming process. And let me tell you why. Because most dogs will need to be groomed by a pro at some point, or have a professional level grooming done by their own owners. But still, there is a lot that goes into it. And it's actually harder than the average vet visit. And that, okay, I can see that might just be a very opinionated thing to say. But I've been a vet tech and I've been a groomer. And I got to tell you, as a vet tech, I never, ever, ever held a dog's attention for 2 hours. That's just not something you really do as a vet tech. You don't keep at them the way we do in grooming. Now, you might be thinking, 2 hours, that's crazy. No, it really isn't. That's pretty normal. 2 hours of hands-on on a doodle, a large doodle with a haircut. Yep, that's pretty standard. It's not unheard of. So the endurance run and the amount of touching and the amount of doing is a lot for dogs. And we need to be thinking about that. We need to think about the process. We need to know what that process entails. We need to know what they are expected to do. And here's one, another one of my big peeves. Trainers, grooming, we expect the dogs to stand. So there's not going to be laying on the floor, getting your nails clipped, or a comfy sofa for nail clipping. Those are things that we can do while a dog is learning, but keep the end goal in mind, because a dog that's going to live to be 15, we don't want to do 15 years worth of groomings every 4 to 6 weeks, about once a month, 12 times a year, sitting on the floor, right? We need this dog to stand. So be thinking about that as part of your end goal. So when we're talking about teaching a puppy or a new dog, a dog with no known issues, see what they do when you place a hand under them while they're standing. See what they do when you place a brush on their hip, someplace on their shoulder, someplace that's not particularly scary. See what they're comfortable with and work toward the goal of we're going to stand. We might be on a table. We might need to be lifted onto a table. We might need to be put into a tub. And instead of assuming that all of those things are scary, I'm going to say this is very anthropomorphic, but ask the dog. Ask the dog if it's scary. Because many times those things really aren't. They need a little bit of reassurance, but they don't need a full-on intervention. Just a little bit of reassurance. And then we can build on those little specific skills that they need help with. Something very, very specific. But most dogs don't need help with all of it. So we can't treat every every puppy, every new dog, as if this is a big, major ordeal, because for many of them, it's not. And trainers, I think, because we see them come in with a behavior problem, and we only see behavior problems that owners are ready to fix. That's the other part too. As trainers, not only are you only seeing the behavior problems, you're seeing the behavior problems that owners are ready to fix or to work on, or at least take seriously, that sometimes our vision gets skewed and we start thinking that all dogs must have these problems. And many of them don't. Many dogs just need a little bit of reassurance the first couple times they're groomed. So instead of 2 weeks worth of training before you actually get a brush on a dog who still isn't standing, you know, like we need to be clearer in our thoughts. We need to know what grooming looks like. We need to be working toward a dog who can stand on a grooming table or stand in a tub, be lifted, be put up, be reached around, be touched with stuff and things. And it's not a big ordeal for most dogs. So that's part one, is talking about the teaching key behaviors to prevent a problem and assessing the dog and finding out where they're at, right? Where are they at before we assume that this dog is going to think these things are scary? Trainers, brushes aren't scary. Many dogs, once they learn about brushing, think brushing is really relaxing. My dogs enjoy being brushed. So trainers, think about it more. What is the end goal? And what does this individual dog demonstrate to you? What are they showing you? If you're enjoying this podcast, please remember to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes, and tell all of your friends. Now that we've talked about teaching behaviors to prevent a problem, now let's talk about how to work on a known problem. And that's going to be a little bit different. I want you to think about, as a pro, you might hear about the problem from an owner, right? The dog's owner may come to you, or they may say, you know, this dog, he has problems with his nails, or he hates having his nails trimmed, or the last groomer told me he hates the dryer, or whatever that story is. That's the story from the owner or from another person. So that's important. I want you to gather clues around it. That's subjective. That's the story that someone is telling you. And now we're going to gather clues to become more objective, to gather some real data. So I want you to think, the owner complains of, here's my example, nail trimming, hates nail trimming. That's the owner complaint. Do we just take it at face value that that's what this dog is doing? This dog hates nail trimming. Do we take it at face value? No, we're professionals, right? That's like saying this dog hates the cat. Are we sure about that? You know, like hates is a strange word, right? Tell me what this dog does. So now we can ask questions. What does this dog do? Tell me the story. Tell me the whole story. Tell me what happens. And that's when you have owners describe what happens. Sometimes they don't know. And I think that that's a great time to say, do you mind if I contact your groomer to find out? Because that's, I know as a groomer, if a trainer calls me and says, can you just tell me what's going on with so-and-so? I would be thrilled, even though, you know, part of me would say, what, they forgot that I'm a trainer too? It happens all the time. Oh my God, side story, guys. But seriously, as soon as somebody thinks I'm a groomer, or thinks I'm a trainer, suddenly that's all I ever will be to them. It's really the weirdest darn thing. Nope, I'm both. But anyway, if a trainer contacts me and says, hey, I want to know more about this problem that their dog is having with nails. Yes, trainers, tell you what, the groomers out there are going to say, finally, this is great. We're on the same page. We're working toward a goal. Let's get this dog settled and fixed. Right? So first, we need to find out what that whole story is. Tell me what happens. Here are some examples of some gathering clues to gather some objective data. How is your dog with touching feet in general? That's a good one. Next thing you know, it's like, oh, well, he hates it when we towel his feet off when he comes in from the rain. Oh, but you thought nail trimming was going to be just like a smooth sail? That was going to be fine. Oh, yeah, sure. He hates it when we even touch his feet. You know, if we're sleeping on the sofa and suddenly someone touches his foot by accident, he growls at us. But we really thought nail trimming was going to go great. You know, sometimes people have some very strange expectations. And you come to find out, nope, how is he with his foot touching in general? Yeah, he has a problem with it in general. When did this problem first start? When you ask open-ended questions, questions that require a sentence to answer, you get more information. Don't say, is the problem new? Has this been going on for a long time? Ask, when did this problem start? Because now they have to answer in a full sentence. They can't just say, you know, is it new? Yep. Nope. You know, like, when did it start? I want them to start thinking. Well, I guess it was probably, I quicked him once about 2 months ago. And after that, like, okay, now we have something to go with. And here's another one. Is it the same response for all 4 feet? Now, what am I getting at there? Interesting, right? When we talk about calm, comfortable, and cooperative, this is one of the comfort ones. I want you to be thinking about questions like, is it the same for all 4 feet? To me says, if there's 1 foot that this dog has a problem with, that's a sign of discomfort. Something has gone on there. And that might be that that was the 1 foot that they were kicking a lot. And now they're afraid when you get to that 1 foot that it's going to be the same as that time. And I know that's kind of anthropomorphic. I can't really tell you what they're thinking. But I do have one dog that I groom who freaks out on just 1 foot. And it was after the vet did his nails and he came home limping. Yep. Guess what happened? I can tell you exactly what happened. I didn't even need to be there. But he started pulling and they pulled back. The thing is that when a dog is pulling against you, they're hurting themselves. So that's part of why we want calm, comfortable, cooperative. So that if a dog is pulling against you, we're going to slow things down and help them cooperate with us so that they don't accidentally hurt themselves, so that we don't build this bad experience. But it could also be a sore toe. It could be an injury. It could be like lots of things could be happening there. It could be that that's the 1 foot that the groomer has a hard time reaching around to get on this particular dog. Right? Be thinking about like, you know, you're grooming a big newfie and you've got to get that far side foot and you're trying to lift it up and it's kind of weird. And once you get underneath a newfie, you're in darkness. You know, whatever it is, find out, is it all 4 feet? Just as an example of talking through a known problem. Is it the same response with every nail? That's an important question too, because that leads us to, is this a medical problem? Or is this a training problem? If it's the same with all 4 feet or both fronts or both backs, and if it's the same with every nail or just the dew claws, you know, like you think about like, is it the same? Now we have some real data. Now we can have some information to work with. Now we can say, all right, well, if those things are true, now what I need to do is go back and assess this dog with what they're comfortable with. And we can gather more clues because when we talk about calm, right, there's loose. Calm is loose. It's not just still. Still and stiff is a warning, and it's one that owners often miss. It's one of the things I will ask owners. Would you say that he's kind of loose or stiff? Oh, no, he's very, very stiff, but he is just so good right up until we do this one thing. But that's not a dog who's being good. That's a dog who is giving you a warning the whole time. And then you get to that trouble spot, the spot that they have the hardest time with. Because remember, dogs are having a hard time. They're not giving us a hard time. They're having a hard time. So now the dog has been stiff the whole time, but the owner thought he was being so good. And then they get to the part that's even harder. And then another part that's even harder. And finally, the dog says, I'm out of here. You know, right? We need to know what is happening. And that's why we need to gather the clues and then still assess this dog. Find out, you know, like, okay, he's worried about his feet. Find out if that's just casually reaching down, touching down his leg. Is that with a brush? Is he like that if you use a towel and you towel off his feet? Find out. Assess the dog in front of you. And then, much like I said with the other part, it doesn't really change much after this point. Assess the dog and then be thinking about the end goal, how we can break these skills down into smaller sets so that we can approach that end goal of a dog who will stand for us and let us touch them with stuff and things that vibrates and makes noise and touch them all over and do all of the things that get done during grooming or all of the things that get done during a vet visit. Because unless there's pain involved, the vet visit is pretty similar to a lot of the things we do in grooming. I know someone out there is right now going, but they give vaccines and they draw blood. Yes, that is true. However, drawing blood and giving vaccines only pokes a little bit, right? If we have a dog who is already used to being touched all over, being held around them, and being he having a vein held off, things like that. When we have a dog who's used to going through range of motion, which is pretty much how we have to do a trim, they don't just stand still like that. We have to lift their legs up, move them around. We go through range of motion. When they're used to all of that, that little bit of getting a vaccine or having blood drawn is not a big deal. They're used to having their feet touched. They're used to having their mouth looked at because for a lot of these dogs, when they have that little bit of hair on their lip, yeah, we open their mouth to try to get in there. Like we're putting our fingers on their gums and we're moving their mouth around. Some groomers are doing tooth brushing as part of grooming too. I kind of don't. I think that it's unless I know that owner does their teeth every day, I think it's pointless for me to offer that as a service. It feels kind of like I'm ripping them off. But to each their own, right? It's still good for the dog to have somebody picking in their mouth. So by the time they get to the vet, when the vet's doing all of this and checking eyes and ears and mouths and looking at tails, and by the time they put a thermometer in a dog's rear, the dog is totally fine with all of that stuff if we've worked on the grooming stuff. Because we touch them all over. We do everything all over. So we still have to assess the dog, and then we have to think about how we're going to build the skills that we need. How do we help them be calm, comfortable, and cooperative for the things we need to do? If you'd like more information, you can find me at chrissy@happycritters.net, happycrittersdogtraining.com, or you can join the Facebook group, Creating Great Grooming Dogs podcast, or the Facebook page, Creating Great Grooming Dogs. I really look forward to hearing from you.